Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Lord, I ask that you would prepare our hearts, that you would speak through my words your truth, and that that truth would really take hold, that it would transform, that it would find its way into our lives. It wouldn't just stop at this place, Lord, but we would go home with it. It would change not only us, but the people that we come in contact with, Lord. Because your words are powerful, and your words can do that, and your truth supersedes what we think is true. Bless us, Lord, in this place. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to week five. Week five in this. Once around. We're doing the Once Around the Sun. That's our trip this year. We are on a trip, and the question that we've posed is, how are we going to be different when we come back around this one trip that we are all on? This Is Us is the name of the particular message today. It's not the TV show This Is Us. We were just watching that last night. Man, that show should be sponsored by Kleenex. I swear, he's just crying all the time. But this is the grander This Is Us, because while we are on a trip, we are certainly, all of us, on a trip around the sun. We're not on this trip alone, right? There are people on this trip with us, and in fact, more people are being added to that trip all the time. The Haters just added a little boy to this trip. Congratulations to them. Birth rates all the time. We're getting more and more people added to this trip. And if you're like me, if you get invited to go on a trip with somebody, one of the questions you might ask, not just where are we going, that's nice, how long are we going to be there, those are all nice questions, but you might find yourself asking, who's going? Right? Who all's going on this trip? Because if so-and-so's going, I am not going. Right? And the truth is, on this trip, as we go around the sun, we are on this trip with a whole lot of people that we don't agree with at all. I mean, at all, that we sometimes violently disagree with. And yet, we are all here together. That's the This Is Us. There is no getting around that. Whether you're still, you know, circling around and you're aware of everything that goes on, when we die, you know, we go to graves. You've seen these before, and you may know the person on your right or your left in a cemetery, and you're crammed in there. But what about at your head or your feet? There's a lot of strangers there, strangers who you might not have gotten along with very well at all while we're walking around here, walking and talking. I met a friend of Dale's, actually, I guess a co-worker, who was actually from my hometown. It's not all that long ago we did this hike, and he said he was from Colorado Springs. I'm like, oh, really? That's amazing. I'm from Colorado Springs. Where'd you go to school? He went to Wausau. I'm like, I went to Mitchell. I used to hate you guys, you know? For a second, it was really nice to see somebody from your hometown, and then you're like, ah, we get along, though. We're rivals, you know, rival schools. And I have to confess, you know, as I walk around even supermarkets today, I should be embarrassed to admit this, and I am a little bit embarrassed. I still see people wearing Oakland Raider gear, and I can't help but there's a little sneer that comes out. You know, there's just some little, even here, oh, that guy. I don't know anything else about him, and it's a stupid sports team. I mean, I have to admit that. But I can't help it. And we disagree on stuff that's a lot stronger than your high school that you went to or the sports team that you cheer for. And yet I wonder, how much are we united versus how much are we separated, and how much does that have to do with familiarity? You know, if you've ever traveled to a foreign country, if you've stayed there for a while, I wonder what it's like to run into an American. You know, especially if you're immersed in a language and you haven't heard English for a really long time. What's it like to find that kind of familiarity? Then the differences, you know, even if they're wearing a Raider hat, you might just look at this person and feel a connection with them that's not very obvious before. When we were in Haiti not all that long ago, you know, I saw another group that was obviously American because they're blanc, they're white guys, and we actually yelled at them, blanc, blanc. They didn't get it. They didn't think that was funny. But we did. You know, you stand out until you find somebody that you actually can kind of connect with. I wonder about science fiction movies. You know, if you could travel around alien races and you lived among them for a long time, what would it be like to just run into a human? Maybe if you were isolated on an island for a long time, how would we look at another human that way? We are united in ways that we just take for granted all the time. In keeping with our whole space kind of theme for this, there's a picture of the Earth, and you can just kind of barely see at the horizon of the Earth, there's a thin blue layer. That's our atmosphere. That is what keeps us, that's the difference between life and death, that keeps us alive, and it's actually, from space, pretty thin and pretty fragile. And yet it surrounds all of us and keeps us all together here on this trip. Together, separating all of us, whether we get along or not. You know, if you're like me, we took family trips every thinking summer. And those trips, you know, as they go on, again, I don't know about you. I think it was easier when you were a kid and you just sort of did as you were told. But as you get older, boy, day 7 of those trips, you could sit around a family table with a bunch of relatives and you're thinking, what topic can I even bring up that won't just cause an immediate fight among people that you're supposed to, again, as you're supposed to get along with in the same family? Even in this room, there have got to be tons of topics that would just immediately cause tension, even though they shouldn't. Because we all here believe in Jesus as our Savior. That has to be more uniting than anything. And yet, honestly, how many things are we just ready to fight about for good reason, for not so good reason? But division, even in this room, it feels like it's just waiting to happen. And so I thought I would do that as a demonstration. This was a really divisive election, wasn't it? So I thought, let's just do a little experiment here. If you voted, show of hands. If you voted, I'm not going to do that. Did you feel the tension? Did you feel the tension kind of rise? Just a little bit? And you could just imagine if you started raising, we're not doing that. We're never going to do that. But if you started raising your hand, you'd start looking around. Right? And you'd give that Raider fan look, a little sneer there. Are you kidding me? You're one of them. And the truth is, we are divided all the time because there is a real enemy out there. And he loves to divide. I mean, if he was writing his profile for Non-Christian Mingle, you know, he enjoys long walks on the beach. And he loves turning people from their Savior. And if he can't do that, what he really likes to do is divide. He likes to turn parents against children, brothers against sisters, friends against other friends. And that guy can even divide us within ourselves, within our own psyche. He can create division anywhere and everywhere, and it's what he loves to do if you will only let him. And from the time God called Abraham, we were called to be united. He called a separate nation, but all other nations were supposed to be blessed through him. And yet, Israelites didn't really get that. They were all into separation and division, both within themselves and certainly from the rest of the world that they were supposed to unite. And very little has changed since then. When Christ came along, you may have remembered in Ephesians, the series that we did just this past summer, Christ is the great uniter. He's the one who calls us to be united, to be one. In Ephesians chapter 2, he said this. Oops, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. That was, by the way, go back just a second. That's the Middle East from space. Doesn't look very divided there, does it? Can you see the West Bank? Can you see Palestine? Can you see Jerusalem? Can you see the different factions fighting? And while God has that view, He has a close-up view on us as well, but I think He has both those things simultaneously. So He can see how we really are just one, and He can see us close up. So my apologies. Let's go back to Ephesians. Jesus says this, Paul says this. Remember that you were at one time separated. And He's talking to us. It's kind of unusual. Lots of times He's talking to Jewish people. He's actually talking to the Gentiles here. Remember that one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You're on the outside looking in, basically. Strangers to the covenants of promise. How scary is that, by the way, to be outside the promise of God? Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's a night and day difference. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one, both Gentiles and Jews. He's made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus has made us one. He is the uniter. And the commonality, the things that we share, are so much bigger than division. I've encouraged all of you to think about having a New Year's resolution. Said we're not racing into this. There's still time. Next week is our last week, so eventually you're going to have to commit to this, and I'm not giving up on it. I may even ask June or July. How's that coming? You know how annoying I am. I just don't leave things alone. So while you don't have to write things down yet, again, think about it. And this week, here's a thing to think about. Maybe I would like to be more united than divided in 2019. That's a pretty good goal. So I have five suggestions, five ways that we could be more Christ-like, more united rather than divided in 2019. Wow, there's a flashback, 2015. It was like yesterday. Number one, start with human dignity. I think we need to be sure that we offer human dignity to every single person who was created in God's image. And I'm not sure that we always look at people as if they were created in God's image. Just this last week, actually, I guess it was Friday, I teach the fourth and fifth graders. We're going through Luke, and there's a section where Jesus is at this party, and this Pharisee named Simon, not Simon Peter, but this Pharisee named Simon has invited him over, and there's a woman who's just crying and wiping Jesus' feet with her tears and going on, kind of making a scene. And the woman has a reputation. She's a sinner. And Simon's looking down his nose, both at the woman and at Jesus. And before Jesus tells his parable, the first question he asks, and you just blow right past it and not even notice it, but I noticed it this time. He says, "Simon, do you see this woman here at my feet?" And you're thinking, everybody sees her, man. She's making a scene. He's making everybody uncomfortable. Of course we see her. But in that moment, I thought, maybe that's not what Jesus is asking. Maybe Jesus is asking, "Simon, do you really see this woman? Do you see her as a child of God? Do you see her as someone who's created in God's image? Or do you just see a sinner because you've slapped a label on her? Do you actually see her as a person?" Because clearly Simon did not. He'd already dismissed her. He just saw her as one of them. Not like Jesus sees her. That's transformational. When we begin to see people with human dignity, when we can start off with that, I think that is a game changer. And everybody deserves that. Everybody deserves it. One thing that I think can help us do that is number two here. Seek to understand. And that's not natural for us. We seek to be understood before we seek to understand. And I'm afraid we've got that completely backwards. Back when it was still open, just a few months ago, I suppose, the comic shop where I used to buy comics, we would hang out there. I'd hang out there for an hour or two every Wednesday that I possibly could and have conversations. I'd have conversations with people with whom I did not agree at all. And I had to force myself to understand their perspective on stuff. And that ain't easy. Believe me. I had one conversation right after the, we talked a lot about not just comics, but comic movies. And, we have all kinds of topics, really. It's amazing the kind of stuff that we talked about there. It was after the movie Black Panther came out. And I said one of the problems I had with that movie is it brought up real problems and it gave comic book answers to them. The world's a mess, but Wakanda is, going to embrace the United Nations. They're going to fix things. And I'm like, here's a problem. There is no Wakanda, right? There is no vibranium. The United States is probably the wealthiest nation on the world. Are you saying that the United States is just supposed to fix all this stuff? You're bringing up real problems, not make-believe, whereas comic books are usually good. An alien invasion, well, we don't really have to worry about that, so that's okay if the Avengers go fight them. This is a real problem, but it's make-believe answers. And there's a young woman there who said she believes very strongly that it's okay to bring up problems, even if you don't have a solution for them. And we're going to just work together and figure this out. Now, the thing that I thought in my head as she said this is that that's a perfect thing for a 22-year-old who's never had anybody work for them to say, yeah, I don't have anything to bring to the table, but I'm going to bring up this problem and we're going to work together to fix this. If you don't bring anything to the table, that's just complaining. But I didn't say that. Because honestly, how helpful is that? And how much are they going to want to share their opinion if you shoot them down? Especially, you're not old enough to understand that. What jobs have you ever held, sweetheart? If you did, if you were the boss and you just had people bringing up problems with no solutions, you would understand. But you don't. So call me back in 15 years when you actually have a valid opinion on something. That's not seeking to understand. That's not looking at somebody with human dignity. And yeah, let me not hurt my arm, pat myself on the back, that I actually resisted the human impulse to make them understand what I believe so that you can fix their opinion on whatever matter you're talking about. You wonder about these folks who you don't agree with, these conversations with non-Christians, where you're just trying to make them understand all the time. And we've skipped over, again, we've skipped over starting with human dignity. Louis Giglio says that he prays for Kim Jong-un and wonders how many people pray for that guy. How many people look at him as somebody who's created in God's image. I thought just this last week you may have seen the decision in New York about offering or making abortion available right up into the moment of birth, and Mario Cuomo just celebrating with all these folks. It breaks my heart. Breaks my heart to think about this. What's the need there? I mean, this is, I'm not going to get off on that tangent, but I am going to say, who prays for Mario Cuomo? Who prays for that group of people? Not just, would you just shake them up, God, and teach them the right way to think about these things? But would you draw them close to you? Would you forgive this man just like you forgive me, because we all need that? Would you speak truth into his life like you speak truth into my life? Because we are basically the same. Too easy to go the other way. Start with human dignity, seek to understand. Number three, champion stability. You know, a kind word turns away wrath. Have you ever heard that before? But that's not the easy thing to do. Usually the easy thing to do is escalate, right? It's so easy to do, or to just to bail out and say, you know what, I don't think we can agree on anything, and cut off communication entirely. So much harder to work together. But expressing outrage, especially on social media, almost never leads to anything constructive, does it? Makes you feel better for about a nanosecond until everybody blows up at you and you think, why did I even bother to post that in the first place? Yeah, why did I? Because I thought it would make me feel better. Anybody ever heard of Godwin's Law? I love this saying, Godwin's Law. Show of hands, anybody? Nobody. I love this saying. Here's what it says. It states, as an online discussion grows longer, the probability of a comparison involving Nazis or Hitler approaches one. The longer you debate online with somebody, one in one, the chances become 100% that somebody is going to call somebody else a Nazi or compare him to Hitler. Promise you. Is that helpful? Not so much. Not so much. It's telling, I think, that it's so true of all of us, because that's the go-to. Rather than do the hard work of actually embracing somebody else's opinion besides your own, to seek to understand, to acknowledge human dignity within everyone else. So much easier to just call them a Nazi, dismiss them, and move on. Number four, persuade in lifestyle. And what I mean by that, well, see if you can fill in the blank here. They will know we are Christians by our... Speak the truth in bold capital letters. Right? Do we do this, though? So much easier to judge. I think it's actually possible. I didn't believe this when I was younger. I actually didn't believe this. It's possible to disagree strongly with someone and still love them. I went to college with a bunch of folks, and in our group, there were people that we just really absolutely could not stand. The Air Force Academy has really a way of dividing people, the way you can really abuse and misuse people. And there's a particularly weaselly guy that I just could not stand. And one of my friends was friends with him. And I asked him one time, how can you be friends with that guy? And his answer was, I don't respect him, but he's still my friend. And that made as much sense to me as organic chemistry. I don't really respect him because of all the things that he does. He acknowledged that. He saw that as true. And yet, he is still my friend. I couldn't understand that at all, and now I think I do. You couldn't have explained that to the younger me. But how can you still love someone? How can you still care about someone, even though you see their faults and you see them for who they are? Well, isn't that the essence of human Christian life? It's what we're called to do, because that's how we have been seen and yet loved anyway. Now, the final thing here is work on your micro as if it is macro. We're not going to have, I don't know, we've got some somewhat important people here, but I don't think any of us are having dinner with world leaders. You know, so we're not going to be able to change the world on that scale. And yet, that can be a cop-out for us too, since we can't change the world all at once. On that grand and sort of almost cosmic scale, it's so much easier to just go, well, I can't do anything, and so I'm going to do nothing. I think it's so much easier for most of us to talk about world peace than it is to seek peace in our own lives. And that's not very complimentary for us. So let's not cop out, but instead, like Romans teaches us, as far as it depends on me, as far as it depends on you, let us live at peace with everyone. Because again, it's a cop-out to just say, well, he won't, she won't. Okay? And you can't change that. But what you can change, what you can affect, is what I will do, what you will do. You can do that. In fact, that's all we are called to do. So on this trip, this once around, can we write that on our little to-do list, put it on a post-it, stick it in your bathroom mirror, Can we say, I would like to end 2019 more united, less divided, and therefore a little more like Jesus has called me to be? Doesn't have to be your goal. Food for thought. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, I thank you that you are always working to unite us. And I pray that we would look to you as an example, not just a Savior, although you are that in a way that it's hard for us to even grasp. So we thank you that you have not just saved us, but saved us for a purpose. And I pray that we would be continually devoted to that purpose. To step toward the full stature of your Son, to look at him as someone to emulate, to unite instead of divide. And when we have those choices, we would seek to understand people. We would look at them as you look at them. And we would persuade not by shout downs, but by our love. And finally, Lord, that we would do that in whatever place you have put us, and wherever our sphere of influence is, we would work in that without hoping for more, but to just do the best with our one talent. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.